Let us start with a prayer first. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this day, Lord. Thank you that you have blessed us with this sanctuary, Father God, that we will come and experience your presence, Father God, Lord. I pray, I want to thank you for everything that you have done for us in our lives, Father God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be present here right now, Father God, Lord, that whatever that comes out of my mouth, Father God, I pray that it will be of you, Lord. And anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not come out of my mouth, Lord. And if of my own disobedience and flesh, if anything that comes out of my mouth, Father God, I pray it won't be registered to people who are listening, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for your sacrifice, Father God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Good morning. So it's been a while since I last shared on a Saturday CMP. And I'll continue to go through the seven letters of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And finally, we have reached, after almost a year plus, the seventh and the final letter. This is the letter to the church of Laodicea. So last time we looked at the church of Philadelphia, which was the best church, as described by Jesus, that nothing bad was spoken about that church. Today, we'll go through, in my view, is one of the saddest letter among the seven, and to the church of Laodicea. Why do I say that? Let's read and find out. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 3, and we'll be reading from verse 14 to 22. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. To whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So as a pattern that I've been doing, I'll go through a bit of the history about Laodicea. Laodicea was actually located at the south of Philadelphia, the city that I shared last time. The city was founded by Antiochus II, sometimes before 253 BC, and it was named after his wife Laodice. The city was famous for three primary things. First, wealth. It was a center of banking and finance, known throughout the Roman Empire for its wealth and financial power. The city was so prosperous that once in AD 60, they suffered a devastating earthquake. They didn't need Rome's assistance. They said no to Rome's assistance because they were able to build their city back up by themselves. While other cities needed Rome's assistance, they said no to that financial aid. Second was fashion. It was renowned for a soft black wool produced there. The wool was considered a luxurious item and was sought after to make clothes or rugs of those days. Laodicea was basically the fashion center. The newest and the latest styles came out from there. And the third was, the famous was for pharmaceuticals. So they had a medical school where they produce some tablets that will be crushed into paste, mixed with water, and was supposed to put into the eye and fix all sorts of eye problems. So they were famous for that. So people from the Roman Empire will come to Laodicea to get their eyes healed. So with that background, I'll also go into the letter. Same as previous letters, Jesus started off with the self-description. And here in verse 14, he says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God says this." Jesus started off by identifying himself as the Amen. So what does Amen mean? Has anyone ever thought, what does Amen mean? It means, so be it, let it be, or it is so. So when we use it to end our prayers, we are saying, let it be so. Let this be true. When we use it to respond to a message, we are saying, it is so, it is true, basically agreeing with the message. It is a word of confirmation and finality. So next time when you pray and say amen, you should know that you are declaring what you are praying for it to become true. It is not just a formula that you end by saying the last word, amen. On the other contrary, you are declaring whatever you are praying to become true. And Jesus was saying to this church that he is consistent, not wishy-washy. And he is the fulfillment, the conclusion, the amen to all of God's promises with all his authority. Then Jesus also called himself the faithful and true witness. Again, he was speaking about his divinity. The faithful and true means being the one that can be held as true and unshakable. Then he called himself the beginning of the creation of God. Some critics will say, see, Jesus is declaring himself to be a created being. He says here, in order to find out what Jesus meant, it always goes best to go back to the original meaning. Here, Jesus is not saying that he is a created being. The word in Greek, arche, means origin or ruler. So it can also be read as the origin of the creation of God or the source of all creation of God. Basically, he was declaring he was the one who created everything. And then in verse 15, Jesus said that the church in Laodicea was lukewarm. They were neither hot or cold. And Jesus wished they were either hot or cold. Then in verse 16, which I see one of the saddest verses in the Bible, that can be said to a Christian or a church. Jesus said, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." To be more correct in the translation, Jesus was saying, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." So what does Jesus meant? And why he says that? The city of Laodicea was located on a plateau, so it was quite secure from enemy attacks. But there was one thing that they were lacking, and that was drinking water, because they didn't have any original source of drinking water. So they have to get water from the other sister cities. One of the sister cities was Hierapolis, around 10 kilometers to the north. The city was famous for its hot springs, and which served as spa for people. And the hot springs also had medicinal benefits, so people will go to those hot springs to get healed. So someone in Laodicea had this idea to bring that water from Hierapolis to Laodicea. But they miscalculated. Whoever the engineer was must have gone into some big trouble. The water, hot, burning hot from Hierapolis, by the time it arrives to Laodicea, have significantly cooled off and become tepid and lukewarm. And most likely, those spring waters, as usually they have sulfur contents, by the time it arrives at Laodicea, must have smelled bad, and it was not a drinkable water. And then they also had another city called Colossae, which was located around 20 kilometers to the east of Laodicea. Colossae has natural spring waters, cold and refreshing drinking water. And the same thing happened. Whoever was the designer, once again, wasn't too smart. And by the time the water reaches Laodicea, the cold, refreshing water, because of its distance and because of the temperature, would have warmed and become tepid once again. So by the time the water that arrives in Laodicea would taste foul, it would be dirty, and instead of being refreshing, it will have caused all sorts of diseases and issues. So Jesus was basically saying in verse 15 and 16, was that Laodicea, currently your situation is same as your water. You are not good for anything. You are not good for any purpose. Your impact has no effect on the city, and you are not building up the city at all as a church. So basically, Jesus masterfully illustrated the spiritual condition of the church. The way you people of Laodicea find the water to be repulsive, I find your spiritual condition repulsive in the same way. That is some scary words, isn't it? Imagine being the pastor or the leader of that church at that time when they heard this letter, how their current situation would have reminded of their spiritual condition. Jesus was telling the church, you are basically ineffective. I pray that none of us will ever have to hear those words from the Lord. So bringing this back to a personal level, so what are some of the causes or signs on a personal level that we need to be aware and not to be lukewarm or be an ineffective Christian? Like other churches, I'm sure that this church also started with being on fire for God, started off well off, but in the end ended up in the state that they are in. So how does a church or a person become ineffective or lukewarm spiritually? What causes it? Verse 17 points out two causes. And the first one, I can summarize this as self-sufficiency. If you look at the first part of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus said, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. They were a self-sufficient church, or so they thought. They had no need for anyone to help them. They had enough money. They have everything that they need. They have all the programs that they need. They didn't need any sort of help, especially from God. They were a church that had material wealth, just like their city. They didn't need any assistance from the Roman government empire. So the church didn't require any assistance as well. Along with that came arrogance, pride, and self-sufficient attitude, which are the downfall, which was the beginning of the downfall of this church. Again, I'm not saying having wealth or material possession is anything wrong, but when those things take precedence in our life, and when those things become our trust and not God, we are in danger of moving towards spiritual lukewarmness or spiritual apathy. The warning here is to be aware of self-sufficiency. Do not lose our sense of dependence on God. Let's not lose our sense of needing Him. Can you just spend some time to think, what makes us feel secure? What makes us feel self-sufficient, that we have it everything under control? Is it our financial wealth, our husband, our wife, our family, our investment portfolio, or our status at church, or the affirmation that we got from community? Now, what happens if God removes all of these things from your life? Will our world crumble? If our dependence is on God, He is our security. It'll be tough. Everything will be tough if these things are taken away, because everything is that thing we love, right? But our world will not crumble. He gives us blessing to enjoy, but they should never take His rightful place in our lives. Our trust And security must be in Him and Him alone. Not on any material things. Because we will fail and others will fail us and let us down. But God will not. He is the only one who is consistent. And He alone is only trustworthy. So we must be all beware of having this self-sufficient mentality. The second thing that I can find from this verse is self-deception. And here in the second part of the verse says, "And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." What is said about this church is not just their condition, but the fact that they do not know that, do not have a clue about their condition, that what is wrong with them. They have deceived themselves to a level that they believe everything was fine and they were in control of everything. They said they did not need anything, but Jesus was telling them they are in need of everything. Not a good message to be heard on a Sunday morning, right? It's kind of sad. We can flatter ourselves and deceive ourselves in believing everything is fine. But God sees through our hearts. God's words can pierce through our hearts. The warning here for us is to be aware of our spiritual blindness, because an attitude of self-sufficiency will prevent us from seeing our need for Christ. And then instead, Jesus advised them in verse 18 to buy gold refined by fire and white garments to clothe themselves and also eye salve to anoint their eyes so that they can see again. Basically, Jesus was telling them not to depend on their own wills of being a rich financial hub of that day, a fashion center, or a place where it is famous for curing eye problems. Instead, in contrast to that, get gold, white garments, and eye salves from Jesus. Jesus tells the church of Laodicea to turn from their current ways and start having a relationship with Him instead, and not to depend on those material things. So Laodicea was a church which was running on self-dependency. So much so that we can see Jesus did not see Jesus in the church at all. Jesus was standing outside the church knocking. Sadly, that also speaks about the condition of a lot of churches and Christians today. We are running our lives on our own strength and energy, with Jesus outside of our lives. We can see that in verse 20, where Jesus is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me." This is what Jesus is saying to this church. "Even though that you have put me out from your life, from your church, I'm still knocking for you to invite me back in." At St. Paul's Cathedral, London, there's a classic painting by Holman Hunt. Some of you might have seen it or might have heard of the name. It is called The Light of the World, where Jesus is standing next to a wooden door and knocking it. When it was first placed in St. Paul's Cathedral, one of the critics from the London Times says, "Hey, Mr. Hunt, there's a problem. You forgot to put the handle on the door on the outside where Jesus is knocking." Then Holman Hunt responded, "No, that is not a mistake. I did not forget to put the handle. The handle is inside. It is up to the person to open the door and invite Jesus in." Today, Jesus is still knocking at some of our doors, waiting for us to open the door of our hearts to invite Him back into our lives. Can I invite Marcus. Well, the good thing or the frustrating thing for a lot of us is that Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He won't force himself on you, on me, or anyone in that matter. But he's knocking. He's not backing down. He's knocking and knocking and knocking. And every knock is telling each and every one of us that he loves us. Every knock on our heart is telling us that he loves us. And if we hear his voice, and if we choose to open up that door, he will come in. No matter how. No matter how long he has been knocking, he'll wait and wait and wait. He'll keep knocking. As long as he's willing to, for us to open up the door and have a revitalized relationship with him so that we won't be lukewarm and ineffective once again. He also promised the overcomer to sit with him at his throne. What a great reward for opening up that door to have a revitalized relationship once again, right? In men's retreat, there was so much wisdom for those who are here also could relate to that we all can chew on from Dr. Huddleston. But one of the sharing came to mind, and I think PSAM also shared in one of his EMP sermons, which can be related to today's letter. So there were a group of African pastors that went to the U.S. to visit and observe how the U.S. churches run and how they do everything. At the end of the observation, someone asked the pastors, "So what do you think?" They said, "Wow, the church has done so much and achieved so much without Jesus." That is saying a lot of condition of today's churches or personal people for us. So let's spend some time and think, is this our condition today? Are we living our lives on our own strength instead of Jesus? Is Jesus outside of our lives, or he's inside having dinner with us? Let's spend some time to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what our spiritual temperature is. Are we hot enough to bring healing to people, or cold enough to bring refreshing to people? Or we are just lukewarm, where we're living our Christian lives, which can make Jesus want to vomit us. If we are lukewarm, let's respond to him and his knocking by opening up our door to him. So let's pray.
covenant of love, so I will walk with you, and I will walk with you. You knock on the door of my heart, so I will
As I was worshiping this with, on this song, I just have a sense that whoever is here or listening, one of the obstacle or opening that heart could be unforgiveness. Again, in men's retreat, I was reminded of Dr. Huddleston's, one of his sharing that when he was in prison or something, so one of the inmates came and asked him and said, "Where I am today is all my dad's fault. It's all my dad's fault." And Dr. Huddleston asked him, "So, where's your dad?" "I don't know. He has never been involved in my life." And then Dr. Huddleston would said that, "Wow, that's a lot of power you have given to someone who has not been involved in your life." I sense it's the same thing that sometimes for us to have a revitalized relationship with Jesus, we are giving too much power to people who are not involved in our lives. It could be someone who has hurt us, or it could be someone that we have argument with. We should just let go and forgive all of those people, because that can be a hindrance for us to have a revitalized relationship with Jesus. So let's spend some time, let's dig in a bit more to let God remind us, if there's anyone we have to forgive, let's lift it all up to Jesus. Let Him be the judge. He will fix everything. And for us, it's only to, the most important thing for us is to have a relationship with Him. Yes, it's going to be tough to forgive people. It's going to be tough to let go of some of the grudges that we have in our hearts, because we feel unjustified. But as the song was saying, we say yes. We say yes to opening this door, no matter how painful it will be, for Jesus to come into our hearts and clean it, and let Him be the King over our house, over our life. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here right now. Lord, come and speak to us into our hearts. Yes, Lord Jesus, we lift up all our excuses to you for not opening up that door. You have been knocking on our hearts, and you have been so consistent. You have been so loving that you kept knocking and knocking and knocking. And today we open up our hearts once again, if it was closed. Come, Jesus, come into our hearts and have dinner with us, so that I can have a revitalized relationship with you again, Jesus. I also pray for SP, for the whole congregation, that whoever is going through such emotional brokenness, that we can forgive people that have hurt us, because it is affecting our relationship with Jesus. And as Jesus has been knocking and knocking and knocking, all of us will be able to open up our hearts and be an effective Christian once again. And let not the world stop us from our purpose in our lives, for a destiny that Jesus has prepared for us. Amen. So let's turn to our weekly prayer focus. Let's pray for our community members who are going through cancer and having treatments for chemo, with chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgery. Let's turn our focus to people that are sick but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray for our community members who are going through infirmities. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for our community members who are looking for jobs. Let's go to the next slide. Let's have a mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, for open doors for ministry, missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, the persecuted church in the Middle East. Let's pray for all the SP weekend gatherings. Outreach retreat. Outreach is done. So, yeah. PMC, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP youth, SPIN, SPIL services and activities, LAM and all meetings. Let's pray for SP Rings. Let's pray for breakthrough, unity, and protection over all the Lamb couples. Pray for the Lamb retreat and all the core members. Let's pray for house churches that are meeting today. King's Court, Mawan, South Side, and West Side. Let's lift up Hong Kong. I mean, every day we are hearing news and things, sad news, day after day. Let's pray for this spirit of sadness, this spirit of disappointment, this spirit of anger, hatred to be broken down. Let's invite the peace of Jesus to come into this city. Let's pray for the spirit of reconciliation to come into this city. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that you have been so loving, that you have been gently but constantly knocking at the door of our hearts. Lord, we don't want to live a day without you. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for not involving you into a lot of areas of our lives. Father God, come and overtake our lives, because we know whatever you do, whatever you guide us to, is the best that we can ever do. None of our material wealth, our energy, our strength, our own knowledge can compare to what you have planned for us. Father God, we open our hearts. We open the door of our hearts and welcome your presence into our lives, Father God. I pray that all of us will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and will be willing to let go of ourselves and let him control our lives. Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross, because without that, all this was not possible. We love you, Jesus. And I pray that the rest of the day and the rest of the weeks and the rest of the months and the rest of the years we'll have an intimate relationship with you. We won't be ineffective Christians anymore. I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.